Matt Tausch. With Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better, begins now. And it begins with the weekend preview.
I'm not going to lie to you, this weekend preview kind of stinks.
You made it.
Yes, I did. Yeah. So a lot of weeks, a lot of years, week 18 of the NFL season is filled with drama and figuring out playoff positioning, and every window has a game of significance, usually a division winner crowned Saturday. Positioning determines Sunday afternoon, and then a division winner again crowned on Sunday night. This year, that's just straight up not the case. A couple of standalone games on Saturday, the Browns and Ravens at 3:30 on ABC and ESPN. Then the nightcap, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh at 7 o'clock. The Bengals need to win and then get some help on Sunday to stay in playoff contention. They are the team in the AFC that has now taken on the mantle of watch out, nobody wants them in the playoffs, because they're getting hot late in the year. But unlikely that the Bengals are even going to make it into the playoffs, because they would need to win, and then the Dolphins and Broncos have to have things shake out a certain way on Sunday afternoon. Noon games. Again, kind of snoozers. I didn't even put any of them on besides the Packers game, because
Jeez.
It's not like they all Carolina, Atlanta.
Mailing it in.
You want to watch the Tampa New Orleans game instead of the Packers Bears game and see who gets in there? Like, it's not that important. Tampa's probably, with a win, they're in. Like, they're good. There's not even the same drama we thought from the South. Then the afternoon, this is where it gets a little interesting. Kansas City's at Denver. Denver, with a win, gets in as the final team in the AFC. If they don't win, then the Jets and the Dolphins, Aaron Rodgers impacting the playoff picture potentially in the AFC. If they beat the Dolphins, that's when the Bengals could potentially get in. But again, we might know Saturday night that the Bengals don't even have a chance to get in.
Mm-hmm.
The big one is Sunday night. Everybody wants to watch Vikings-Lions on Sunday Night Football. It's a great game. It will impact the playoffs. 7:20. The Lions are listed as 3-point favorites. They're going to be playing everybody on both sides there. Winner gets the 1 seed. Losers, the 5 seed, probably has to play 3 road playoff games. Huge game. Maybe the biggest game of the year in the NFL when you think about all the ramifications in play. Lions, Vikings, it's in Detroit on Sunday night. The rest of the slate, not that impressive. Am I underselling it, Brian, or are you also fairly disinterested in this weekend of football?
All right, let me jump in here, because this is dumb. Here's the deal.
Come on, schedule makers.
Here's the one question I have for Brian Bulaga based on this list. Are you watching Dolphins Jets in case it's Aaron Rodgers' last game in the NFL?
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
Do you think it is his last game in the NFL?
I'm at 60-40, yes.
Really?
60%. Yeah, I'm at 60%, yes.
Because?
I just think the way he's hearing him talk about it, he seems about it as unsure as I've ever heard him talk about it, right? Like, when he was making his, when he was in his darkness retreat, I knew he was playing. Like, that, I mean, there was no doubt he was coming back to play. He seems genuinely unsure if he wants to continue to play. And,
mm-hmm.
And to me, like, that's wild, because, like, whenever I would speak to him, even like the last few years, like, it was always gung ho. He's ready to go. He's playing. Like, even after the Achilles, when I spoke to him, like, he was really ready to play and go. And the way this season's went, like, I haven't really spoke to him about it. Like, right, how everything's gone. I'll probably wait till the off season to reach out to him and talk to him. But it just seems like he's really unsure. And to me, that's a sign that there's a chance. There's a good chance. So, also, not just with him, right? There's another side of the equation to that. There needs to be a team too, right? Like, it's, you know, as much as, like, we always say, like, we want it to always be our decision as the player, sometimes it's not always our decision. You know, sometimes there's also the league decides things for us. And, you know, if you know, if there's not a team, it's hard to play. So like that, there's a couple different things that are in play here. But so I'll watch it, and that's the after. Is that the is that at noon as well?
No, 3:25 on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll watch that. Yeah, I'll watch the Packers at noon, and that at 3:25.
All right, that is the weekend preview. We will get to headlines coming up, and then I'm going to make Jesse forfeit Wonelli in favor of getting to some of the texts that we've gotten with questions for you on the Carbless talk and text line. Want to remind you again, if Tausch was here, he would do it, but he's not, so I'm doing it. Fortrea Clinical Trials. They got all kinds of studies. Go to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's F-O-R-T-R-E-A ClinicalTrials.com. Find one that fits your schedule, and then you can make some extra money for going to the Packers playoff game or whatever you want to spend it on. They are looking for healthy adults ages 18 to 60. Women can be of childbearing potential with a body mass index between 18.5 and 30. The study involves one stay of 11 nights plus two follow-up visits, compensation up to $7,104. And if you refer a friend, you'll receive an extra $500 per qualified referral. Again, learn more at FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, ClinicalTrials.com. We'll get to headlines next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Headlines presented by Fleet Farm and presented by the Tauscher Headline Academy, which does a great job. I don't know why I've become suddenly public enemy number one of theirs. Just relaying the feeling that more people enjoyed the singing than they have enjoyed the movie clips being reenacted this season. But nevertheless, they've been great regardless. Just like Fleet Farm is great, and now's a great time to swing by Fleet Farm because their holiday clearance sale has officially arrived. You can shop in-store and look for the yellow clearance tags to take advantage of these huge deals across the entire store. So visit your local Fleet Farm during the holiday clearance sale today. And Fleet Farm is also here to help you when it comes to holiday cleanup and storage. Right now, you can shop their wide selection of storage totes and boxes and take your organization to the next level. Store it and stack it with all the storage tools you need at Fleet Farm. Time now for the headline of the week presented by the Tauscher Academy players acting out one classic film. Here it is.
...224th pick of the 7th round, born June 17th, Auburndale, Wisconsin. Favorite board game is Canyon. Favorite card game is Sheephead. Hey, could you sign this for me?
Oh, perfect. A note with a handwritten contract to co-host a sports radio talk show with you.
Could you...
Interesting.
Could you make it out to Mr. Aaron Rodgers? He's my soulmate, or best friend, or...
Yeah, I'm sure you guys will figure it out.
We are figuring it out. Did anyone ever call you the Tauschinator? How about Old T?
Hey, that's not original.
This is Jesse. He does a lot of high school sporting events, mostly bowling.
Pretty good.
So, yeah, if you could just tell the Packer fans to not do the wave on offense, they're going to win 35-20.
I think we can do that.
Wait, was Pat supposed to be me? Did we not get the audio at the beginning there? Does he say he's me? Is that what happened there?
I think that's what he was going for.
Huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Interesting.
Brian, what'd you think?
I have to be out of the loop of what's going on here.
No. No, you're not.
I got to be way out of the loop of what's happening because I don't know what was going, like, what was that?
What was that?
I'm just, I don't understand, Jesse, were you supposed to be somebody?
So those are Tausch's brothers.
Yeah.
And okay. Max.
Yeah.
And that film, Jesse, was supposed to be
The Sandlot, I believe, is the answer to this one.
So I'm blanking on what scene they're reenacting. There's a lot of classic scenes there. I don't remember that one. And I appreciate Patrick doing his best Jason Wilde impression, and Helmut doing the Jesse Nelson role. But are we doing these for the playoffs?
I believe they are.
Okay. Good to know.
Okay. Well, now I have a better understanding of what is going on here. So, like, the next one, I'll be able to, you know, give a better or understand better what's happening. I mean, great acting, though. Fantastic acting.
No doubt. Really, yes. Nice. Incredible acting. Especially by Mark Tauscher. Packers, by the way, just sent out an email. This week's distinguished alumni, which I know you've been, Morgan Burnett and Nick Collins coming back for Sunday's game at Lambeau Field. All right, those are headlines. Jesse, being the great teammate that he is, has generously offered to turn over Woe Nelly and allow us to use that time to read some of the questions for Brian off of the Carbless talk and text line. So we will do that. And plenty of time to do it in. It's the earliest we've ever gotten to Woe Nelly.
Would have been a great time to really do my segment. But yeah, I've generously donated it over to our guy.
Thank you for your unselfishness. Speaking of giving things away, do you have the cheese fry helmet ready?
Oh, I will next segment. You know, that's usually when my segment is when we do that. So,
generous. I want to make sure you have it for a segment that you gave away. That is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Not afraid of getting old and I want less day.
Which is replaced with our Q&A for Brian Bulaga. Jesse, you got to lean into your unselfishness. I know it's a foreign concept to you.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Great opportunity for you to look good, setting you up here. What do you got for Brian? Oh, yeah, and you've got your cheese fry helmet.
Yeah, I want to do this before I forget. I want to draw our winner. We had four contestants on New Year's Eve and one yesterday.
Genius idea. Yeah, genius.
I thought it was pretty good. Year in review, and congratulations to the only contestant this week who did not play on New Year's Eve. Yesterday, Jerry in the Prairie only got one right, and that's all he needed.
Wow, it's a miracle.
Jerry in the Prairie, this week's winner.
It's like that Bucks comeback that I was listening to Dave Kane and our buddy Justin Garcia on the call last night as they scored 20 straight points to pull within one and have a chance to win at the end, and then ended up losing to the Brooklyn Nets. Time now for Q&A time with Brian.
First question comes in from a 262 on the Carbless talk and text line. This is more. Could you explain the roles of position coach versus player for developing position-specific technique? I think, this is the 262 saying this, I think the pass rush technique of our defensive line is very poor. Bad hand usage, limited moves, poor alignment, etc. Is this a coaching issue or a player issue? What's the path for improvement? And what do the really good players do to improve? A lot there from the 262.
Yeah, there's a lot to dive into there. And I think as the season has gone on, I think we've seen some improvement from our defensive line. I think they played better as this thing has gone. Not as much as we all expected it to be when this thing started off. But I think when you look at the NFL and what a position coach can do for a player, they're there to, obviously, the first thing is to help them learn the playbook. So that's the scheme, and that is how to play within the scheme. The next thing is to refine technique and help them improve with their technique. I'm not too sure if it is to teach them brand new technique. Yes, for pass rush, it is to help them with certain moves and maybe enlighten them to some new moves. And you learn a lot of things from older veteran guys. That is a lot of the way, I mean, the way I learned was from watching Clifton, watching Tausch, and learning from those guys. And then when I'd put it on tape, Campy would correct me with things and would coach me on what I was doing. He wasn't necessarily telling me what to do or like how to do it. He was coaching me to give me tips on what I was doing to improve it. So to try to go in and say, is it a coaching problem? I don't know if it's a coaching problem, because you could only do so much for guys that are at the professional level at this point, right? Like, they, guys are kind of who they are at this point in time, right? Like, yeah, you can improve them technique-wise little by little, but it's up to them to get to that point. Alignment and things like that, like, this is a new scheme, so guys have to get comfortable within the scheme and improve on it, and that's going to take some time. And I think Halfley has said that as the season has gone on, and LaFleur has said it as well. And I think this will get better, but they're going to be bringing in guys as this goes on, right? Like, this is year one of this. I think year two is going to look better, and year three is going to look better, and so on. But for year one, and as the season has gone on, it's gotten incrementally better. It's not as good as I thought it would be from a pass rush standpoint, but I don't know if we can say, like, the coaches are to blame for the guys not being able to pass rush as good as they are or they should be. And they need to make these guys much better, because it's going to be hard to say the coaches are going to make them a lot better, right? Like, to say for, like, I always said this, like, to say that, and I'll always bring it back to our position group, to say, like, it was James Campen's fault if a guy didn't pan out is, like, the wrong way to look at it. That it's never going to be the coach's fault, right? Like, you have to start looking internally on that. And that's just always the way we looked at it. Like, was it James Campen's, like, was it all on him that, like, a fourth round or fifth round pick ended up being an all-pro? No, it wasn't all on him, but he helped that guy. But that's on the player to develop that way and work and do all those things. So, like, it's I'll never blame it on a coach. I mean, guys have to grow up once they get in, and if there's a change of scheme, they got to adjust.
Another text comes in from Austin in Salt Lake City. Brian, do you, and they even went with the Wildy and Town style, capitalizing
that. Yeah,
you.
I like that.
Brian, do you think the Packers have their starting five on the offensive line currently on the roster for next season? It's from Austin in Salt Lake City.
Well, that's because Myers is a free agent this year, right, Jason?
Correct.
So you got one more. Yeah, so no, I don't think they do. I don't believe they do. So they're going to be short of center, I think, is the way this is going to work out. And how I think it's going to work out is I think they're going to kick Elton into center. And I think the first-round pick, Morgan, who missed pretty much this entire year, unfortunately, with the shoulder, is going to kick into guard. And then the rest of the guys, where they are, is kind of where they're going to be. I mean, yeah, are they going to draft guys? Most likely, right? They'll probably draft guys. In what rounds, I don't know. But the thing is, like, I want to make it super clear, too. Like, I don't think it has anything to do with Meyer's performance. Like, I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think he's played a lot better than he did last year. I just think from a financial standpoint, GMs make decisions, and that's the way it goes from how many guys you got to pay, because they're going to have to pay Zach Tom soon, and that's – you got to make decisions for offensive lines, and that's kind of the way it goes, unfortunately.
Yeah, I would just add this to Brian's answer, and that is that there's only so much money to go around, but we've seen it. You know, John Runyon ended up with the Giants. Like, these are good linemen. Brian's one of them, right? You left for the Chargers. Like, eventually, you only allocate so much to the offensive line, and if other guys are eating up a big chunk of it, you end up saying goodbye to good football players. And I think Josh Myers is going to get a good contract from somebody else, and he's going to be a good center in this league. Is he going to be better than Creed Humphrey, who went the pick after him? Doesn't appear to be the case. Jesse, what else you got?
This one's from Jamie in Mequon. Brian, what have you seen on the limited film of Luke Musgrave? I believe at least once I saw him miss a block badly. What can we expect out of him this season?
Yeah, he missed a lot of time, right? Mm-hmm. And he missed a bunch of time, and it takes longer than a week in live action to get your feet back underneath you and get back in the flow and rhythm of a game. And playing against Minnesota really isn't the easiest one to really start playing a bunch of snaps and get back into. So to be dead honest, I'm not too sure what we can expect to going forward, right? Like, I mean, I think he'll probably get a bunch of snaps against Chicago would be my guess. I think between him and Kraft, I bet, you know, I mean, Kraft will get plenty of snaps this week, but I would imagine Musgrave will probably get a lot. We'll probably get the bulk of them to get him going this week. But once we get into playoffs, depending on what personnel they run, it'll be Kraft majority of the time. But he's just missed so much time that it's hard to throw guys back into it and expect them to play really well right out the gate. And really the first thing to go for the tight ends is blocking, right? Like, that's a very tough skill for them. They're already undersized from a weight standpoint. And then to go block defensive ends, it's a tough skill for them. Like, it just is. Not everyone is Mercedes Lewis, right? Like, and it's not an easy thing for those guys to do. And then they're the furthest ones away from the ball, so they're normally the last ones off, like, moving on the snap count, and it's just tough. So, he might have missed a block or two against Minnesota, but, like, it's going to take time for him. And, you know, the injury thing and what he went through and how long it took him didn't help his case. But I think he's talented. I really do. He's just kind of had a bad string of, like, luck the last few years, unfortunately for him, and Kraft has emerged, and that's the way things go in the NFL. When you get hurt, someone normally emerges, and that's kind of the way this has gone.
We have one more text to get to. Jana in Pittsburgh. I know it's Packers game edition, but I will continue to iterate that I need someone to ask Brian about the Packers O-line appearance in Pitch Perfect 2.
Yeah, I mean, I was asked to do it, and I said no.
I mean, what?
Yeah, well, it was, I mean, it was also because I was rehabbing my knee as well. That was in 2013, I think.
What kind of an excuse is that?
I was rehabbing my knee, I can't
do
the movie?
I'm washing my hair, I can't be in a movie.
Yeah, I think I declined. So it's not really my thing, man. I'm too low key under the radar. It's just not really my thing. But it looks like they had a great time.
You're on the radio across the state right now. You're not low key under the radar.
It's not a Hollywood motion picture.
Okay, that's fair. So who
did you see the last segment? It's pretty close.
That's also fair.
Yeah, but I also was not in that. I was not in that feature. I'll put it
so
that.
who all is it? It's Bakhtiari.
Yep.
TJ Lang, City,
Don Barclay.
Clay Matthews. Barclay was in instead of you? Well, he did start a bunch of games for you that year.
He totally took Blue's spot.
Oh, man. Also, is that a grilled cheese sandwich with a golf hole in it on your shirt?
Pimento cheese.
Oh, you got it from from going to the Masters.
It's Masters themed, yeah. Masters themed from a different company, yeah.
So it's a bootleg. You passed it up. Jordan Rogers is in it also, right? Did Jordan Rogers take your spot, or did Don Barclay take your spot?
That's a good question. Might have been Jordan. I don't know. To be honest with you, it might have been Don. I don't know. Someone did. Like I said about Musgraves. Like, you know, if you miss, someone's gonna fill the opportunity. Like, and that's what happened. So someone jumped in.
Did Abby not push you to say, you know what, I can limp through this scene just to be in a Hollywood movie? I feel like Abby would have been pro you in a movie. Am I wrong to think that?
She didn't care one way or another, but she definitely did not like say, you need to go do this.
Okay. Would you have if she had? If she said, honey, you have to do this, would you have done it?
If she said I had, like, you got to go do this, I probably would have gone. Okay. I probably would have gone. Right. But it definitely wasn't, like, a priority. We'll just put it that way.
Okay. Fair enough.
I have a development newsworthy note that I want to share regarding today's headlines presented by Fleet Farm.
Okay.
Despite several guesses on the Carbless Talk and Text line thinking that the movie was The Sandlot, I have confirmed with sources close to the production that the movie was not The Sandlot.
You told me it was The Sandlot.
That is what I thought it was. Based on the texts that were... Usually the texts are not wrong when they're guessing. There were three different ones that guessed Sandlot. I had not confirmed that ahead of time, and it turns out it was wrong. The movie that was reenacted, which would have been a lot more impactful had Tausch actually been here for it, The 60-Yard Line. A very obscure film that Jason apparently has not seen all the way through to its finish.
No, I didn't. I paid for it, and I still didn't get to finish it.
I have never seen it. Clearly, Bulaga's never seen it.
That makes sense. He's riding his bike on Stadium Drive.
The 60-Yard Line is the movie.
I got to be honest. I felt like a complete idiot because you told me it was The Sandlot.
I didn't recognize the Sandlot. Right? I didn't get it. Makes sense why it's not.
Way to help us all succeed, Jesse. Good thing you gave up your segment, at least, for Brian.
Don't you blame me for what that turned into today.
It would have made a lot more sense had I known it was... Because that is a scene. He rides his bike. Tausch is riding his bike, and he encounters... Yeah, okay. Bring back songs. All right, that's it for Wonelli / Ask Brian Anything. We will wrap up the week and wrap up the show with Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. That's next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
Born and raised under the rain and a western.
Time for Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. And our Feel Good Friday, we just talked about him, Josh Myers, who has been named the Packers 2024 winner of the Ed Block Courage Award. Brian, I'm sure you voted in this while you were a player for your teammates. The award recognizes NFL players who best exemplify commitments to the principles of sportsmanship and courage, and is voted on by the players themselves. Each team recognizes an annual recipient for his professionalism, strength, and dedication, and for being a role model in the community. Myers was selected by the team in part because Josh lost his father to lung cancer in July. He dealt with injuries throughout the year. He only missed one game. As Brian pointed out, he's played quite well this season. And knowing, you know, how close you are with your dad, I know how close Tausch was with his dad. Like, that was a big loss. And maybe football sometimes can be a respite from thinking about your sorrow, but that's still really hard to do. And you said you were really impressed with how he's played this season. He has elevated his game as opposed to last year. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I completely agree. And knowing what obviously he's gone through in July, you know what I mean? Like, that's a lot to carry, right? Like, I mean, I couldn't imagine, and that's a lot to carry. And then, like you said, I mean, I don't know all the injuries that he's had, but you've seen he's been beat up a little bit throughout the year, and then to push through all that. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's played better than he did last year. And that's, I mean, again, there's always people that'll disagree with that, and that's okay. But, like, for me, what I've watched and when he's on the field and when he's not on the field, there's a difference. So, to me, I think he's going to earn himself a lot of money, and that's the way I see it.
Brian, when you fill in for Tausch, just like when you're on our show on Wednesdays, the time flies by. We could do another 3 hours, but I know you got other stuff to do, and so do I. So thanks, buddy. We appreciate you a ton, man. We really do.
I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always fun. Whenever you need a sub for Tausch, which seems like it's, you know, a couple times a week these days, I'll do my best.
Did Iowa win the Music City Bowl? I wasn't paying attention.
They lost by, I think, like a field goal. Or something.
Oh,
but at least they got.
That
they
is
got
too
injured,
bad,
Jesse.
He did know that, and he just did that to be a jerk.
That is a shame.
That's it for us. We just got done telling Brian how much we appreciate him.
He's pulling for them.
And Bradley had a great football season as well. All right, that's it for us today. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday for the playoff-bound Packers and previewing whoever they get, probably Philadelphia. Have a great weekend. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.